You like that? I chose that one for you, Kirk.
You did. So that was Pat Kreitlow. We had a Thompson twins. We have two guests by the name of Thompson. Mark Thompson was our first guest, and now we have Scott Thompson here. So obviously we had to have a musical theme, and King for a Day is the perfect song because we're talking about fraudulent electors here trying to make Trump a king for just about one day.
That's
so,
right.
Welcome
back to the Up North podcast. You might recall that previous conversations with his colleague, Doug Polin, discussed their role in protecting democracy from ongoing efforts at voter suppression, voter subversion, and just flat out election theft, Sarah.
So think of Law Forward as the guys in the white hats. They formed in part after watching a bunch of right-wing lawyers form a group called the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and proceed to file all kinds of lawsuits designed to help conservatives rig the electoral system and fight pandemic safeguards. Welcome, Scott.
I am glad to be here, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. We're so happy to have you on. I mean, this is like, this topic is just like engulfed my mind because I just heard about it with Rachel Maddow a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even know it existed. And I can't believe that we haven't done anything about this yet for an entire year. So we talked to Ann Jacobs last week. We talked to Mark Jacobs this week. They can't talk about this because they're part of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And you guys, Law Forward, sent a complaint to the Wisconsin Elections Commission almost a year ago, suit right around that time. And
about
a month away from the year anniversary. And you also sent a complaint to the district attorney of Milwaukee County, saying that these guys were fraudulent electors, and then it just died. Like you guys did something about it, but it seemingly just everybody just forgot about it until Rachel Maddow had Law Forward's head honcho. I think Greg Mandel, or is that his name? Jeff Mandel, and had him on a couple weeks ago, and that's the story that I know. And so I want to understand what's going on from a year ago. What have you guys been pressing? I mean, has it been frustrating for you that this has just been dropped off the radar screen?
Well, let me just start from big picture and kind of respond to your frustration. First of all, I share the frustration. I think at the core of this entire conversation is just a deep feeling of being unsettled. I think there is a lot of new territory that we find ourselves in. Norm shattering is almost its own new norm, which should bother all of us. But I wouldn't go so far as to say, Kirk, that this is dead. It's certainly, I don't think that's the case. So you're right. You framed it the right way. The way things stand right now is that Law Forward, on behalf of others, filed a complaint with the Wisconsin Elections Commission concerning this misconduct. That has been pending for about the same amount of time as a letter with the DA's office in Milwaukee County with John Chisholm. And I'll talk about both of those things in turn. First, the WEC. Obviously, they have a lot on their plate at seemingly every single turn. Now, a very curious moment at a meeting, and I believe it was November or late October, where one of the members of the WEC, who is one of the individuals who submitted this independent, is perhaps the politest way to say it, spate
say
of elect-
forged, say That's forged.
Nice. His name is Bob Spindell, and so he sits on the Elections Commission. And before the Elections Commission went into closed session, he made a bunch of peculiar comments that suggested that the Elections Commission had been considering it, or were at least addressing this tangential issue about whether he can sit as a adjudicator of a complaint against him. So that conversation was sort of let out by his own comments. So we know there is something going on, but the truth is that we don't know exactly where it stands. But, at least based on those comments, it appears that something is happening. And that's where that stands now. Now, as to the DA, as to John Chisholm in Milwaukee, you're right. We did send a letter about a year ago. However, I would not say that that matter is dead. In general, any criminal process takes time. And certainly when you're talking about any type of criminal action involving this like core public integrity question, they have a lot of due diligence to do. And you can imagine that we're talking about conduct that, you know, I don't think any of us could probably have imagined 10 years ago. And I think that prosecutors around the state deserve a little bit of leeway in really considering these charges and making sure, for example, that you dot all the legal I's and T's before you do anything. And so we have confidence that they're considering it and looking into it. You're right that there is no action to speak of yet. And, you know, I think especially with these core democracy issues, a lot of us feel like we want stuff to happen. But, you know, I'm a lawyer. Sarah, I know you're a lawyer, too. And we can be the annoying people in the room that sometimes tell people to slow down. And I don't like doing that, but I at least want it to give them the space to do what they need to do. I think that's probably just, if we're doing our best, we have to give them the opportunity to do their best.
I get that. I get that. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not knocking on the lawyers in this case, but just the overall condition is living up to the adage, you know, a lie can be halfway around the world while the truth is still tying its shoes. You know, because we're being very meticulous about making the case to what the facts are. Meanwhile, the big lie just kind of keeps spinning round and round. And so for folks who need a little historical perspective, what we're talking about is that on a day in December of 2020, when the actual electors were meeting in the state capitol, 10 Republican fake electors signed their names to fraudulent documents alleging that Donald Trump had won more votes in Wisconsin when he had not. Now, it would be one thing if this was just a dog and pony show, which frankly, a lot of people thought it was. They just got in a room, they were there to placate Trump, blah, blah, blah. Turns out they signed papers. In Wisconsin's case, they affixed the Republican Party seal to it. In Iowa's case, they affixed the state seal to it because it wasn't just Wisconsin. It was several other states. And they sent very similar paperwork to the National Archives and to Congress with the expectation, it appears, that they would be the electors chosen by Vice President Mike Pence in a dastardly deed to basically overthrow the government. And so now we're learning that this has happened in other states as well. So that's some of the background on it. But I have to ask this basic question of you, Scott.
Sure.
And I understand filing it with the Milwaukee County DA, but I'm curious why it wasn't filed in Dane County, you know, essentially the scene of the crime and the state capitol. Can you shed any light on why it's there and whether it rises to like more of a state attorney general Josh Call matter instead?
You know, I think that's a really good question. I think the broader answer is that it certainly could be considered by other places. I mean, we originally went to Chisholm's office, frankly, before I was with Law Forward. And I can't exactly speak to why it went to him, but certainly depending on where specific actions happen, certainly some we know happened at the Capitol in Madison. And I think that, you know, there is an argument out there that there could be other places that could ultimately consider charges. It's just sort of the first place where the question was asked. And now to your other point, though, about the other states hearing about it everywhere, you know, I just want to say that from the broader perspective, it's important to consider this as all one thing. You know, I don't want people to make the mistake to think that, oh, this just happened in Wisconsin. There's some goofballs doing some things here and there. That is not true. There are consistent attempts to chip away at democracy that are happening everywhere, it seems. And ultimately, that's what this needs to be about. It needs to be about accountability. And that's why we are doing what we can to sort of force the issue. I recognize there's some tension between how quick that can happen, but that's what we're trying to do.
All right,
and that's what Kirk, you wanted to get at the accountability measure, didn't you?
Yeah, so, I mean, so this is slowly unfolding, it seems like to me. You know, I'm just like your average guy that watches the news and is very concerned about our democracy. And what we're hearing, Michigan had a same, you know, Michigan, Iowa, Arizona. Who knows how many more might come out that had this exact plot. I want to know, like, you know, first of all, I want to put a plea in for anybody listening right now who goes to a Josh Call fundraiser, ask him to take this up. Because I really do think the attorney general of the state of Wisconsin should be working on this, and it shouldn't be a district attorney in a single state. So that's my own opinion. But secondly, like, what should be done with these people who forged documents? I mean, this seems like treason. And treason.
Kirk, treason's one. At the very least, it's forgery from the people who keep talking about forged ballots and, you know, assisting nursing home residents on ballots. This is, you know, fraud writ large. So if we'll put the pin back in the grenade for a moment and not call it treason necessarily, Scott, what kinds of things might we expect in a most extreme scenario in terms of accountability for this action?
Well, so I think there's a bunch of things. I mean, you know, there's forgery of documents, potentially impersonating public officers, potentially conspiracy working together to do all of this. There's a lot of options, frankly. I don't historically practice criminal law, and it's not something that I'm traditionally accustomed to talking about. But what I can say is that there are a lot of potential things that could happen. I mean, this type of conduct certainly hits on a bunch of different things that, you know, our criminal law says requires some level of accountability. And I think it's just worth remembering that there's the conduct, there's a lot of things involved that could come out of this. There's a lot of criminal potential accountability that could be there, but that's a decision that a DA, someone in that capacity has to make.
Well, Scott, I think you hit on something really important, which is not having people be under the mistaken impression that this is just isolated events. And so as an LA transplant here in Western Wisconsin, it seems goofy and unfathomable that something like this would happen. As someone who practices law in Western Wisconsin, I'll call it gaslighting because I don't have a better word for it. But this sort of making up reality or inserting your own, it flies in certain pockets here, whether it's our justice system, whether it's our politics. I mean, there are little examples of that we could get into if we had, you know, a week to talk about it here. But I, you know, just letting people know how serious this is, that this was a conspiracy and a coordinated effort, and it wasn't that far off from working. So we are fragile. But what would you say to people up north, or maybe people in the cities, Milwaukee and Madison, of, you know, let's take this seriously, because there are places where this kind of thing flies and it works.
Oh, to be absolutely clear, I would say to everybody, take this seriously. There's a very famous New York political scientist who says democracy is a system in which parties lose elections. And I think that's really important to remember, because we are living in a world now where one party is trying to make it such that they never lose elections, whether it's, you know, staying on various boards for longer than they're appointed to, or trying to ultimately just change the outcome. They are truly working towards a shift from a democracy to something completely different. So yes, Sarah, you're right. Take this seriously.
All right. And we're not just you and Law Forward are working on so many other fronts. There's the whole redistricting gerrymandered maps matter that you're not working on personally, but we've, like I said, we've talked to Doug Poland and others, and that's going to be argued before the state Supreme Court 1 week from today, Wednesday. It'll be argued on the 19th. You, however, are working with Law Forward on other matters, like a Waukesha County case involving efforts to get rid of those pesky drop boxes that help people vote. And, you know, the Good Samaritan action of
actually ballot helping assistance.
Well, see, the ballot harvesting is what they want to call it, but what do you call it? Like helping your neighbor?
Yeah, being a friend.
Friend. Tell us about that case and what you're doing.
So, again, this is just one more attempt to sort of shift the boundaries on you know, how we can vote, where we can vote, and to narrow them to such an extent to make just access to democracy, I think, more difficult. Now, in general, you know, there are rules on lawyers and commenting on pending cases and stuff like that. But I can say in general that the law in Wisconsin is pretty clear that people can return their drop boxes to the municipal clerks, and the municipal clerks are afforded a lot of leeway and really how they set up that system. Drop boxes are a safe, effective, and really easy way to make sure that people can vote. And I think that's really the important thing here, is just making sure that that access to the ballot box is something that we're not eroding. And really that's the important thing that's at issue here in Waukesha County.
Well, it's important to have that kind of leeway, especially with a state elections commission, because one of the points that I've heard a few times is that drop boxes are not specifically enumerated in state law or in something along those lines. That's kind of the argument, right?
I mean, more or less, yes. So I don't want to dive too deep into the nuances.
You don't have to dive. My point instead is to say maybe they're not. But, you know, in people who are strict constructionists on like the Constitution, I'd like to point out airplanes were not mentioned in the Constitution. That does not make them illegal. You know, it doesn't mean we can't have an Air Force. And now you see, Scott, why I'm not an attorney, but I try to make the best arguments that I can here.
No, but you're generally right. It's about the law provides a broad range of ways that you can return ballots. Ballot boxes are certainly one of the ways that, you know, the law provides that you can do that. It's been going on in Wisconsin for quite some time, and it should continue.
And you can't change it just because you didn't like the results. That's not what we're about in this state. Scott Thompson of Law Forward, good luck with that case. Thanks for filling us in on all the others. We really appreciate it. Thanks for taking time with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be back to wrap up the show right after this. You're up north.